where angels fear to tread last Sunday night. I have stirred up a lot of conversation here and yonder. We've got some emails. I understand the women's ministries, even Tuesday night, were discussing the translations of the Bible, and I hadn't got the, I guess I'm still here. Amen. So I guess I'm not unemployed, but that's all right. I meant it in a sincerity, because I just want you to get in His book. Amen. Somebody say His book. Now, we spend a lot of time on Facebook, but have we been spending a lot of FaceTime in His book? Amen. And we've been saying that the answers to raising children are in, the answers to having revival are in, the answers for our country is in, for finding a spouse if you're single, the answer is finding His book, and even beyond the grave, what lies beyond the chilly Jordan of life, the answer can be found, aren't you glad, in His book, and we thank the Lord for His blessings. So tonight, in the final message, I want to answer the question, how to read the Bible for all that it's worth. And it's worth a lot. And I want to get the most that I can out of it. The Bible is the one book that you don't just read it. Praise God, it reads you. Amen. So would you stand with me tonight and turn to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Now I'm going to give you a little thing about the King James in English. Not so much King James, but English language. We have very few words compared to the Greek. And the Hebrew has, my understanding, even less than the English. And so if you were to read the Hebrew Bible, literally word for word, it would, be very choppy. But I want you to notice in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. And if we've got it, just give me a thumbs up, Sister Hope. That way I'll know I can, won't have to turn around, turn my back to the people. All right. See who's playing around. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. If you're there, say amen. Read it out loud. Everybody read it out loud. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And in the Greek, the proceedeth means continually proceeding. God is continually speaking. Amen. And Father, speak, Lord, your servant heareth. We honor His book, your book. We thank you that you reached way down and you gave us a roadmap. And I pray, anoint your servant to preach out of His book tonight. And we'll give you praise for it. And everybody said, amen. And turn around and tell somebody you're glad to see them, and God bless you. If you don't have a copy of the Bible, see me after service and we'll get you a copy of the Bible. Some people still don't have copies of the Bible. There are people in the 1040 window. What do we mean by that? But in the longitude and latitude, we're talking about the longitude of the Earth's globe, 10 degrees north of the equator, between that 1040 window, 10 degrees up, down to 40 degrees south, in that window right across the eastern hemisphere, we're the western hemisphere, that stretch of mass of land from the northern part of Egypt to all the way through the Middle East, except for Israel, and then Kyrgyzstan, and Uzbekistan, and then, of course, Afghanistan, and then the Pakistan, and all of that region covering most of China, all of that mass of land where a lot of the world's population is, you understand, they don't have His book. And so, folks, we need to realize what a treasure we have in His book. Amen. And when it comes to reading the Bible, a lot of people today have asked the question, and I've tried to answer, is the Bible reliable? There's so many translations. There's so many contradictions, so many views, so many other books. How can we know for sure that the Bible we hold is His book? And I talked to you on the first sermon. We can know for sure historically, because of the 24,633 manuscripts that we can examine today. All of them affirm that God has preserved His word. No other writing in ancient literature has near that many copies that we can study from. So we know it is historically reliable. Say amen. We know it's scientifically reliable. The round earth, the quarantine, running water, the need for blood, all of these things. Other examples, some of you have even told me since then. Scientifically, science is not an enemy of the Bible. In fact, the Bible knows, when scientists discover it, we're like, yeah, we read that a long time ago. Come on now. And so the Bible is reliable historically, scientifically, and prophetically. We have told you about how that even inside the Bible, prophecies from Isaiah were fulfilled several thousand years later and several hundred years later. And then not only Bible prophecy within itself, but Bible prophecy beyond itself, two witnesses being dead, seeing around the world. We know other prophecies are coming to pass. And so the Bible, it is reliable historically. It is reliable scientifically. It is reliable prophetically. Aren't you glad for His book? Can you say amen? And give Him a hand of praise. It's reliable. You can lay your weary head in a rock in a weary land. It is the Word of God. Say amen. Now, here's the truth of the matter. When it comes to the Bible, it's not that it's unreliable. The biggest problem is it is unread. The great theologian R.C. Sproul said this: "Here then is the real problem of our negligence. We fail in our duty to study God's Word, not so much because it is difficult to understand, not so much because it is dull and boring, but because it is work. Our problem is not a lack of intelligence or a lack of understanding. Our problem is that we are lazy." Somebody said this. Now, notice R.C. Sproul said that preceding statement. I didn't say that. Somebody said this: a dusty Bible makes for a dirty life. Somebody said 7 days without reading the Bible makes 1 week. You know what I'm saying? Not W-E-A-K or W-E-E-K, but W-E-A-K. If you have a Bible, sister, did you bring your Bible tonight? Did you bring Brother Randy's Bible tonight? Come on up. Do you mind? I want to show you. I want to give you a specimen of a Bible that's falling apart. Come on here. And I've gone through so many Bibles. I should have brought you some of my Bibles. Man, the first few Bibles that I got, I still have them. And they are, Brother Joe, get ready to focus up here on this Bible here. I want the folks on, because we have folks watching on the internet here. But I want you to look at that Bible now. I mean, it's got duct tape and everything on it. I mean, I can't even open it. Look at that. Look at that. Whoa. All right, I'm going to mess your Bible up. I'll buy you another one. But you know what? You can't replace it, can it? This is your... You mind putting it back together for me? I done messed it up. I ain't got the one. Give her a hand for that tonight. You want to say anything about it?
This is my Bible. Yes. I live by it. I read it. I try to read it every day.
Yes.
And it was my son's.
Yes.
So it's a special meaning to me.
Amen. Amen.
Another one.
All right, I got you. Amen. Praise God, somebody. Hallelujah. When your Bible's falling apart, that means you're not falling apart. Amen. Somebody said if everyone would blow the dust off their Bibles, there would be a windstorm. And so tonight, I'm urging you, pressing upon you, imploring to you, pleading with you, maybe even begging you, in this late hour that we live in and confusion abounding, for your children's sake, for our church's sake, for your eternal sake, get into His book. You see, how do I get the most out of His book? I want to get into it, but how can it get into me? So I want to give you about 5 things tonight to get the most out of your Bible. Number one, when you read the Bible, to get the most from it, read it. Number one, point one, gratefully. Somebody say gratefully. You got to thank God that you have His book. Amen. You see, read it with gratitude. There was a time, I've already covered this, in history where you were forbidden to read the Bible. It was illegal. I told you about William Tyndale and John Wycliffe, who burned at the stake. And I didn't tell you about Robert J. Thomas and Korea, particularly South Korea, definitely not North Korea, but South Korea is one of the greatest Christian nations on the planet. And as it gets worse and worse in America, and they begin to pass laws saying you can't preach, we may have to go to Korea to get religious freedoms, just like the pilgrims left England and came here. There may come a time in future generations where we actually leave and go to Africa, because sub-Sahara Africa are led, some of the nations are led by godly Christian and men. In fact, when Obama went over there, and this is nothing against Obama, if he was your favorite president, I love you and I love him. But when a Christian leader in Africa said, Obama, you are welcome to come, but don't bring that sin over here that you like to promote. Come on now. You see what I'm saying here? If they want to get rid of us Christians, you know, we'll just move on over and start a revival there and send missionaries back like we've done before. I'll tell you, I love his book. Amen. But in Korea, have you ever wondered how the gospel got to Korea? And Robert J. Thomas was a man from England, a Welshman, and was a missionary working in China for the Scottish Bible Society. In the course of his work, he learned that the Korean language is based on Chinese, and that as a result, the Korean intellectuals could read Chinese. His main responsibility was toward the millions in China, of course. But the love of Christ for the Koreans constrained him, and he determined to push out into that country. An American ship called the General Sherman was sailing to Pyongyang, a large city in the north, which is the capital now of North Korea. He boarded that ship, and as the ship drew near to Pyongyang, a sharp fight broke out between the officers of the American ship and the Korean Coast Guard. The ship was burned in the conflict, and all the passengers were killed. But Thomas's death was unusual, because as the ship and the passengers were sinking, he struggled to reach the shore and staggered out of the water staggered up out of the water, his arms filled with Bibles. He thrust these into the hands of Koreans, who then clubbed him to death. And it was through such love that the gospel first came to Korea, out of the Bibles, one of those Bibles, as he was dying. And it got a hold of somebody's heart and somebody, and then Korea opened to the gospel. Aren't you glad for the power of this book? Don't you have gratitude for the people who gave their life? If Robert Thomas can give his life and be clubbed to death, certainly we can give 15 to 20 minutes a day in the comfort of our living room, and so many today in the 1040 window. And not only do we have access to the Word of God, we need to read it gratefully, because we not only have access to it, but we have, aids and study aids. We have the, as I said last week, modern translations, word for word, phrase for phrase, paraphrase. We have MP3. We have cassette tape. Well, some of you do. I know you do. Most people don't know it, 45 and under. We have CD, the Bible, in my car, in the trunk of my car. I've got the entire Bible on CD, read by Alexander Scorby. And I don't need those CDs, because I can pull down the, Gateway Bible app on my phone, and I can hear a man read from about 50 different translations of the Bible. We have it even on DVD. If you can't read, and you can't listen, you fall asleep, you can actually get a DVD. I saw it at the bookstore, and it'll play scenes while the Bible is being read. We've got it on the iPhone, the iPad, the Android. Listen, there just isn't any excuse. And listen, if you want to get all that you can out of the Bible, just be grateful that you have access and know it. Somebody say, no excuse. I'm thankful for the Word of God. I'm thankful that I can get into His book. Can you give the Lord a hand of praise and be thankful? Read the Bible with gratitude. I'm so glad I can hold this book in my hand. I'm so glad I can turn its pages. I'm so glad I can highlight it and mark it and date it and stamp it. And I'm so glad for the Bibles throughout my life. I can pull down my first one. I can pull down my second one. I can pull down the one I preached from when I started preaching my first sermon. I can this is a new Bible. I just got this because I wore out my other Bible. This is my Bible I got on my 25th anniversary of being ordained to the ministry. And this one's, I hope, going to last several years. As I preach from it. But are you grateful for the Word of God tonight? And the greatest act of gratitude is just to say, thank you, Lord, and just get into His book. Say amen tonight. Not only read it gratefully, but number two, to get the most out of your Bible, read it humbly. Humbly. What do I mean? When you go to the Bible, when you open its pages, do so with awe. Do so with reverence. Do so on a bended knee, maybe not physically, but certainly in a humble spirit. Humbly open the scriptures. Don't just flippantly open it and say, yeah, what about that? No, read this as a love letter. Read this as a text message. Read this humbly as if the Bible were speaking directly to you. Martin Luther said the Bible should be read as a mother speaking to her children. Read it humbly. We should be like the child Samuel and the 1 Samuel 3:10. And the Lord came and stood and called us at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered. Read those next few words. Speak, for thy servant heareth. And I want you to know that he is speaking through his word, and be humble. There's a phrase throughout the scriptures that says, I tremble at his word. And that's a good thing. I'm concerned about the judgments that are in here, and the Bible paints a picture of what the consequences of sin are. And so we should be the king, the good godly king, Josiah, when he was but a youth, he began to get into his book, and he realized that, man, we're in trouble. And he trembled and he rent his royal clothes. He said, we got to stop everything and get into his book. And I'll tell you, when you get humble into the word and humble into God's presence and his spirit and his word, I'll tell you, revival and judgment will be averted. Can you say amen? Somebody said this. I tried to find out who the author of it was, but I believe it was Bill Bright. Campus Crusade for Christ. When you read a passage of Scripture, or when you read portions of Scripture, there are several questions that you might can mentally ask. I do it automatically, but you might want to write these down or get this CD. But when you're reading through the Bible, as you read it, humbly ask these questions. As you read a passage, is there a sin to avoid? Amen? When you read a Scripture and it says something should not be done, then ask yourself, is this a sin that I need to avoid? And what does that mean? Humbly avoid it. Amen? Is there a sin to avoid? Is there a promise to claim? With long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation or my glory. Is that a promise to claim? Amen. Is there an example to follow? In other words, if that could go either way, Brother Philip. You know, Peter cursed, and is that an example to follow? No, amen. Other examples, you know, different ones, like Paul said, what would you have me to do, Lord? That's an example to follow. Is there a sin to avoid? Is there a promise to claim? Is there an example to follow? Is there a command to obey? Because it's not only sins to avoid, there's also commands to obey. Because inaction is a sin if God calls for action. You understand what I'm saying? And we're called to be witnesses. And if you're not witnessing, you're not obeying his commands. In fact, the last thing he said was, tell everybody about you. Do you tell people about you? I intentionally, and I don't do it as much as I feel like I should, but every now and then I'll go on a job, I'll go different places, and I'll say, wait a minute, bring Jesus up in this conversation. Tell somebody about the Lord. Get the pot stirring. Let's think about eternity. A young girl that I work with, very young, and she's pregnant and out of wedlock, and she's her and her boyfriend are expecting this baby, and she come to find out her mother kicked her out. I said, Lord, just give me an opportunity. I won't have long. And so we had a moment there, and I told her, I said, I want you to know, sometimes our own family will turn on us, but the Lord will never turn on you. I said, and he has a plan for you, and he has a plan for that child. That's a command that I obeyed. I didn't particularly want to get into her business, but you know what? It is my business. I'm telling you, some godly aunt could be praying, oh, Lord, send somebody to my niece. Now we've got a child coming. another eternal soul that will live forever somewhere 1,000 years from tonight. The mother and child will be either in the bliss of glory or be in the torments of hell. Folks, we got to obey His command. When He says tithe, tithe. When He says forgive, forgive. Is there a sin to avoid? Is there a promise to claim? Is there an example to follow? Is there a command to obey? Is there an action to be done? If you'll humbly go over these 4 or 5 questions, if you'll read the Bible gratefully and read the Bible humbly, oh, you'll get the most out of His book. Somebody say amen tonight. And then number 3, how to get the most out of His book is read it consistently. Say amen. When our heart beats consistently, everything's as it should. But if it jumps a beat, I mean 1 or 2 beats, it's called arrhythmia. If it gets out of beat, we got to go to the doc. We got to lay back on the salt. We got to change our diet. And so we need to consistently. Now, I'm not saying, I didn't say legalistically, because as hard as I try, there are days that I miss reading my Bible. I'm confessing to you as an ordained minister and as a pastor of 20 years, there are some days I miss reading my Bible. It's more than I would like to admit, because I'm the type reader that once I finally sit down, I'll read a lot. Come on. Now, I'm just here to tell you, whatever your rhythm is, if you read the Bible 1 day a week, just make sure you get enough in to cover the whole week. Didn't I say 1 week without the Bible? It makes you W-E-A-K. Don't go a whole week without reading. But I'm just telling you, read it consistently. Read it daily. Daily should be because the Bible says in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our what? He's talking about the scripture. We really should read. And I have to say that, let me backtrack on what I just said, because I want to clarify this to you. It's rarely a day, very rarely a day I don't read some scripture. Most of the time it's the Psalms. I always read the Psalms every single day of my life. But I'm talking about my daily Bible reading. Sometimes I do get behind. And if anybody else ever got behind, you just join me in prayer and let's ask the Lord to help us. Amen. I'm working 2 jobs and my wife's working a full-time job. If I had kids, I don't know if I'd be saved or not. Come on now. Because I can only imagine these people having kids. It's hard enough to keep up with Darnell's cat and do all the stuff that we do and read my Bible and exercise and this, that, and the other. Don't y'all want to pull out a tissue and cry for me tonight? Come on now. But I'm telling you, I'm reading this book. I read it through 2 years ago. I didn't read it. I missed it last year. I'm not going to miss it this year. My wife read it through. We're going to read it through again because we believe in reading it consistently. Give the Lord a praise for consistency. Amen. Now, John Newton, you may not have recognized the name. How many of you recognize that name, John Newton? Tell me what he's most famous for. Amazing Grace. He wrote the song Amazing Grace. He said this about reading the Bible. He said, I know not a better rule of reading the scripture than to read it through from beginning to end. And when we have finished it once, to begin it again. We shall meet. Listen to this. We shall meet with many passages which we can make little improvement of. In other words, that we can't understand, but not so as many the second time around. And fewer in the third than in the second, provided we pray to Him who has the keys to open our understanding and to anoint our eyes with spiritual ointment. The course of reading today will prepare some lights or understanding for what we shall read the next and throw a farther light upon what we read yesterday. Experience only can prove the advantage of this method if steadily persevered in. To make a few efforts of reading the Bible and then give up, it's like making a few steps and then standing still, which would do little towards completing a long journey. Now lean in. But though a person walks slowly and but a little in a day, if he walked every day with his face always in the same direction, year after year, he might in time encompass the globe. By thus traveling patiently and steadily through the scripture, and repeating our progress, we should increase in knowledge to the end of life. How to get the most from this book is read it consistently. Amen. Stay in His Word. He's got a fresh word for you. And I can attest to that. I remember one day I was cleaning the house, believe it or not. Now, this was about 5 years ago. This is when I was still in. Oh, sounds like I hadn't cleaned in 5 years, right? No comments from my wife back here. But when I was down at Smyrna and living in the parsonage there, Darnell had to drive about an hour for work. And so I just went ahead and took the household duty. And isn't that a good recovery? Don't you feel a lot better? But I remember I was listening to the book of John, chapter 2. I was listening to it. I wasn't reading it. I was listening to it. And you know that story that says about the turning of the water into wine? And I've read that 100 times, probably 500 times in my life. The book of John, I could almost quote it. I don't memorize, but I could almost quote it. And in listening to it, when he said, you know, when he turned the water into wine, the head of the place, the master of the feast, came and said, why have you kept the best wine until now? How many of you remember reading that passage? And in all of my reading, it never dawned on me until I heard it read that Jesus was getting caught on the carpet for doing a miracle. I'm telling you, the master of the feast would have said, Jesus, thank you. We appreciate this. And he'd come up there like a bunch of deadheads after church one Sunday when the music's too loud and said, why have you done this, that, and the other? Oh, my friend, I read that 100 times. I never picked that up. And the point I got that day was from this. You just do what God calls you to do. You let God work miracles in your life. And don't let somebody criticize. Because if they criticize the Lord, they're going to criticize you. Now, I got that out of that scripture. And the point I'm trying to make is I had never seen it before. And this time when I've read the Bible through, I've got some other stuff and some other stuff and some other stuff. Hearing the preaching, I get new stuff. I want you to know, read the Bible consistently. Can you say amen? Amen? And number four, not only read it gratefully, say amen. Not only read it humbly, say amen. Not only read it consistently, say amen. Number four, read it expectantly. What is the, I love this. What, when I get ready to read the scripture, what is it going to say to me today? So, I have now read all my Bible reading is done on Kindle or an app. And I tell you why, because I can highlight the scripture and I can type a note and I'll put the date on it. And so when I go back and read the next year, I'll see that I put a note on that scripture last year, and I can easily pull up that note and see what the Lord spoke to me last year. And it's amazing going through the Bible. And what are you trying to say? With a regular Bible like this, it's hard to write a lot, you know, in the margins because the scriptures are too close together. And I used to do that. And I used to mark that. And I still do on when I read my hard copy. But the point I'm trying to tell you is here's the attitude that I have. Here's the attitude that will help you get the most out of his book is what is the Bible saying to me? Highlight a scripture. God, when I read a scripture out of Deuteronomy or out of Leviticus or out of Joel or out of Matthew or out of Philippians, when I read for that day and I highlight it, date that, make a note of it and say, God today has shown me something. He wants to talk to you. He talks to you. I'm telling you, read it. I'm expecting a word. Anybody need a word from the Lord? Anybody got some questions? Anybody got some problems? Anybody got some mountains? Well, then here's the answer. Get into his book. Can you say amen tonight? See, there's, and the pastor alluded to this morning, there's the logos word. Now, log, you know what a log is? You log entries. That's where, we got it from the Greek word logos, or a continual log. And so when Moses began to write in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, blah, 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 blah. And all the way down to Revelation chapter 22, verse 21, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let all of him that are thirst come and drink of the water of life freely. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. The last verses of Revelation, that's the log. It's written. That's what I read tonight. Matthew chapter 4, it is written. Somebody say, it is written. So there's a log. There's a catalog. It's where the logos. You know what a catalog is? You open. Well, maybe you don't. We don't have this stuff. I'm getting dated in my illustrations. Sister got me this morning about telling the kids, you know, about the chalkboard and the stuff. And she's like, they don't have chalkboards anymore. I'm just picking on her. That's not what she said. But I said some things in dated language. But when I was a little kid, we'd get a catalog from Sears. And buddy, it had all those Star Wars action figures. And boy, I would look at you. So, you know, we have the catalog. We have it here. Say amen. But let me tell you, there's not only the logos or the catalog, but there's the rhema. Now, what does rhema mean? And I heard David Jeremiah say this, a Baptist preacher. He said, rhema, and I was surprised he said it. He said, rhema is a word from the word. Oh, y'all didn't get that, did you? In other words, it's like taking that catalog and placing an order. Can you say amen? I need an order of peace. I need an order of healing. It's in the catalog, but God said it's for me now. You don't have to worry about money. You just need faith. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Oh, thank God by faith. I expectantly claim the word of Almighty God. Give him a mighty hand of praise here tonight. Rhema is a specific word in a specific moment. A rhema is the answers that you're seeking for that moment. And as you're reading your Bible consistently and humbly and gratefully, I'll tell you, he'll be continually speaking as you say, as Samuel, speak, Lord. Say it with me. Speak, Lord. Your servant heareth. Look at Jeremiah chapter 37, 17, and I'm coming to a close. Jeremiah chapter 37, verse 17. Then Zedekiah the king sent and took him out, and the king asked him secretly in his house and said, is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said two things. There is. My friend, I'm here to tell you, people are asking, and our society is asking, and politicians are asking, and you tonight, and many of you are asking, I've got a situation. Is there a word from the Lord? Like Jeremiah, there is a word from the Lord. Hallelujah for your healing. There is a word from the Lord. Isaiah chapter 53, with his stripes we are healed. Is there, for my family, is there a word from the Lord? Acts chapter 11 said, you will be saved and your house. What about my finances? Is there a word from the Lord? Malachi chapter 3 and 10. Bring you all the tithes in the storehouse, and I will open up the windows of heaven. Oh, what about my trials? Is there a word from the Lord? 1 Peter chapter 1 said, and verse 7, a word from the Lord says, he will take those trials and make you into precious gold. Can you shout amen? What about death itself? When we go to the casket of a loved one, surely all is lost. Oh, but no, it isn't. He's the Lord of the living and the Lord of the dying. And I'll tell you right now, he said, here's a word from the Lord. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever believeth in him hath everlasting life. I read this word expectantly at the graveside. I read this word expectantly in the doctor's office. I read this word expectantly on my job. I read this word expectantly in my house, on the doorpost of my house. I am so thankful for his book. It has made a difference. If it's made a difference for you, shout hallelujah tonight. Stand with me tonight. Read it humbly. Read it gratefully. Aren't you grateful for it? If you'll pull that picture up, sister. Read it consistently. Read it expectantly. And here's what I'm going to close with in this series. Trust it eternally. We can trust this Bible forever. I believe a million years from tonight, me and Brother Philip might be around some, I don't know, some Glory Avenue station. And he's going to have his Bible open. I'm going to have my Bible. Well, we'll have God there in the flesh, or in whatever his manifestation is. We'll have God there. But we'll also have his word. And Brother Philip's going to come like he does a lot of times from Sunday school. And Brother Tom's going to send an email in glory and say, I just got a fresh word. I still believe a million years from now, his word, we'll be learning his word. I've heard people say we won't need the Bible in heaven. I'm telling you, we'll have that Bible forever. Forever and forever. I'm going to be carrying that book. Well, we've got God there. Why do we need it? Because He gave it to us. Amen. We get to speak to Him face to face. Yes. But we also still have His Word. Amen. And I'm telling you, you can trust His Word eternally. What people say will not last. People promise and they don't come through on their promises. Isn't that disappointing? But I read this, and I'm closing. So, Pastor, if you'll come on up, because I want to just go on over to the piano. But they gave me a Bible in the fifth grade at Cooper's Elementary School. And in that, I had that Bible for years. I can't find it now. But inside that little red Bible, there was this little phrase that you're seeing here. And this is how I want to end. This book, now you probably can't read it. It's probably real small. But in that little Gideon's Bible, I read that, and I want to give it to you. This book, somebody say his book, contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions immutable or unchanging. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. His book is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, and the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. Here, paradise is restored, heaven open, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its subject, our good its design, and the glory of God its end. And here, let's get on down and finish this series, because the last one should get you right in the heart. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, a river of pleasure. Listen, church, it is given to you in life, will be opened in judgment, and be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, will reward the greatest labor, and condemns all who trifle with its sacred contents. Can we celebrate his book tonight?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. While you're standing, let's hold it up and let's say it together. This is my Bible. I am what it said I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do, and I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Praise God. Aren't you thankful for the Word of God? In eternity, I like that.
Yes.
Paul said we look through a glass darkly. We know in part, but then we shall know in full. Hallelujah. Isn't it be wonderful, the things that we haven't understood here, that in eternity, that the Master will open the pages of this book, and the great teacher.
Yes.
Oh, we'll sit at the feet of Jesus, Pastor. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
And he will instruct us and show us things. The Bible says we shall see him as he is, for we shall be like him. Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him in the morning. Praise him at the noontime. Praise him. Praise him, praise him when the sun goes down. Serve him, serve him, serve him. Serve him in the morning, serve him at the noontime. Serve him, gonna serve him. I'm serving when the sun, I've got a river of life. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the blind to walk and the blind to see, and it opens prison doors, sets the captive free. Oh, I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, oh, where within my soul, spring up, oh, where and make me whole. Spring up, oh, where and give to me that life abundantly. Praise him. I said, praise Him,
praise Him. Praise Him in the morning,
praise Him in the noontime. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him when the sun goes